saw a sign outside a church building this week, and it said, "God says, meet me at my house before the big game." The lesson this morning comes from a Bible story that many of you are very familiar with. It's one that many times I'll reference at the close of a lesson when we extend the invitation to become a Christian. Now, reference this story of Philip and the Ethiopian. Pretty much on the last phrase of the story, where Philip asks the Ethiopian, when he says, "Here's water, what hinders me from being baptized?" And he says, "If you believe, you may." And the Ethiopian says, "Well, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." He makes that confession. And immediately after that confession, Philip commands the chariot to stand still. And they both go down into the water, and Philip baptizes him. So that's part of the process of being born again or becoming a Christian. We usually list that process in a series of steps or a formula, if you will, a recipe, being you need to hear the Word of God. Second, believe what you hear, that good news gospel message. Then number three, repent or turn your life around and turn it toward God. And then in this story, make your confession of faith that you believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. And when those four things are in place, then you can be baptized for the remission of your sins and rise to walk in newness of life. And from that point on, then as a Christian, we begin to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So in our lesson this morning, I thought, well, let's take you back to this story and present it in a little more detail than just in that part of the invitation of the Ethiopian's confession and baptism. So in your notes, if you follow along, I'm going to break it down into four major sections. Number one, just noting the response of this Ethiopian, what led him to be baptized. Number one, he had an honest heart. Number two, he had a hungry heart. Number three, in your notes, a humble heart. And then number four, a rejoicing or a happy heart, having been baptized. So here's the Luke records that an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. 26, the angel said, "Arise, Philip," to Philip, "under the way that goes down Phrygia to Gaza, which is desert." So Philip leaves Samaria, where he's been preaching in the city, and he reaches this stretch of desert. He's alongside this desert highway, and he sees this entourage coming toward him. And one look at this entourage or this caravan, he probably thought, "That's an impressive sight coming toward me. It's like a parade." Look at the people coming down this desert road. So he learns that the caravan or this parade in verse 27, he sees that it contained a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. And he was in charge of all her treasure. And amazingly, the Ethiopian invites Philip to sit with him in the chariot and discuss the scriptures. Wow. Then, after a discussion on the text, the man sees water and he requested to be baptized. He no doubt had some prior knowledge, but here's just one lesson from Philip, a message about Jesus, and he requests baptism. It's interesting, I put in your notes, you likely know, not many noblemen, people in authority, obeyed the gospel at this time. Remember Governor Felix. he hears the Apostle Paul preach. You're listening to the Apostle Paul. And at the close of Paul's comment, the governor says in Acts 24, verse 24, go your way for this time. You know, when I have a convenient season, I'll call you. In other words, don't call me. Then there's a king, King Agrippa. And in the same manner, he hears the Apostle Paul preach. You'd think surely when it's the Apostle Paul preaching, there's going to be a good response. But now you have the king, Acts 26, verse 28. He concludes, Paul, almost you persuade me to be a Christian. Almost. In Paul, when he writes, in writing to the congregation in Corinth, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26, Paul reminds the brethren. He says, For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, and not many mighty, not many noble are called. Paul could attest to that. I preached to a governor and a king, and they both sent me on my way. The Ethiopian is the focus of this lesson this morning. He's one of the few noblemen who answered the call of the gospel. So the question we're going to look at is, what caused this Ethiopian to receive the word of God, a message about Jesus, when so many other noblemen did not? What is it that sets this one apart? So number one, I want to look at the Ethiopian's heart. Number one, he had an honest heart. An honest heart. And I make that conclusion because he was in charge, first of all the queen's treasure. And I think that's evidence of you put someone in charge that's honest. His appointment to the treasury suggests integrity. However, it's, in my looking at this story, it's nothing compared to the honesty he showed in a far greater treasure, meaning the gospel message. Greater treasure. And I say that because when Philip preaches unto him, we don't read of any delays. We don't read of any arguments on the Ethiopian's part. There, the scripture doesn't give us any excuses in his dialogue with Philip. We only read of his reception to the gospel or the good news message in honest heart. The questions that he asked were asked out of a desire to know what the inspired text was talking about. Tell me more about this scripture. Explain what the apostle or what the prophet is teaching. And when he learned the truth about Philip preaching unto him Jesus, he gladly receives it and he obeys it. It's an honest heart. And when the chariot approaches a body of water, he asked Philip in verse 36, what hinders me from being baptized? So now we bring it home to you and me. We haven't done so already. What about us? I want to be honest with the Word of God. I want to be honest and have integrity when it comes to the message that's being preached. Meaning I want to know the truth. But when the truth is presented and I hear it, I want to receive it. I want to take it to heart. James says in James chapter 1, verse 22, to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So there's two parts to that. As great a blessing it is to hear God's word read and to hear it preached or explained, the greater message is in doing what it says. And that was the character of the Ethiopian. He hears Philip preaching a sermon upon Jesus, and in his honesty, He asks the question, is there anything that hinders me from being baptized? If you believe, you may. With that in place, you're qualified to be baptized. He had an honest heart. I heard, and now I want to do. Second, I see he had a hungry heart. For someone, I say that, someone might say, well, how hungry was he? I look at it in three ways. First of all, he was so hungry for God's word or God's message that he travels from Ethiopia to Jerusalem to worship. That's a hungry heart. He's making a journey over a few hundred miles one way. The conditions, as you know, the travel conditions were not the best. It wasn't a super highway. The desert road. It wasn't a diamond lane or an HOV lane for him, the caravan to travel on. There weren't 7-Elevens on the way for him to stop for refreshments. It's an open air chariot on a dusty road. He doesn't let the distance and he doesn't let the conditions stop him on the journey. How far did you have to travel to come to the building for worship? Were the conditions horrible? Was the distance too much? The Ethiopian had a hungry heart. He says, I'll make that journey. I'll travel the distance. I'll endure the conditions. I need to be there for assembly, the Ethiopian says. I'm going to worship. Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes, said in Matthew 5, verse 6, that there's a blessing for those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. They'll be filled. Hunger and thirst. Of course, we're going to make the point here. I want to be like that Ethiopian. And is my heart hungry? And will I travel the distance? Will I endure the conditions to be at assembly? When David was in the wilderness of Judea, he wrote in Psalm 63, verse 1. He said, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek you. Early? Yeah. 9:30 or 10:30 too early for you? Don't answer out loud. David said, early I'll seek you. Remember, we're talking about the Ethiopian. What sets him apart from everybody else? His heart was hungry for worship. And then David continues, early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. I want to be like that. I want us to be like that Ethiopian. So he's hungry for God's word in that he makes the journey. He's hungry for God's word in that he traveled all that way, the hundreds of miles, to stand outside the temple. Wow. You see, eunuchs were not allowed in the temple. In the old law, Deuteronomy 23, verse 1, he that's wounded in the stones or has his privy member cut off shall not enter into the congregation. It would be impressive for him to make all that travel time to sit in an honored place. But he's doing all of this to stand on the outside. He's in the parking lot. He's outside. How hungry this Ethiopian is to attend worship. I'll endure the conditions and the distance, and I know when I get there, I'll be in the parking lot. Third, I think he showed his hungriness because on his way home, He's reading from the scroll of Isaiah. He's still involved in information. He's not just worship, but reading the prophet. I don't know where he got the scroll from. The text doesn't say. But he has it with him. So now he leaves Jerusalem and begins his long journey home, and he's reading scriptures. What about us? You know, when we travel, we take in the sights, may read a novel, recline in our seat, take a nap, if you're not driving. If you're not behind the wheel, and we're doing a lot of other things. This man, he's traveling home. He's been there to worship. You think, well, that's enough. Boy, I got that out of the way. And now he's reading scripture. Hungry? Yeah. When it's time for Bible study or worship assembly, are we willing not only to make the journey, but are we willing to listen, and are we willing to do the will of God? Don't answer out loud. In Acts 17, verse 11, the Apostle Paul gives this example. He says, "These, the Bereans, were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that," why does Paul compliment their nobility? What is it about in that comparison, the Bereans and the Thessalonians? Oh, the Bereans in that were more noble, in that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind. They searched the scriptures daily to see where so the things that Paul was teaching, the things that Paul was preaching. Oh, let me check that out, Apostle Paul. Yeah, that's right. The Ethiopian was hungry for truth, for scripture. He endures the distance. When he gets to the worship assembly, he has to stay outside. And then he reads scripture on the way home. Hungry. Number three, he had a humble heart. Remember, he's not just an Ethiopian, not just a eunuch. He's a treasurer of Candace the queen. Would have been easy for this man to be filled with pride. He could have said to himself, you know what? Philip, I'm a man of great authority. I'm in charge of the queen's treasury. It really doesn't matter what I know or don't know. No, he didn't say that. He wasn't filled with pride. He had a humble heart. And so in his high estate, he displays that humble position. Philip even asked him, "Do you person of high authority, you noble man, do you understand what you're reading?" Kind of an innocent question. He could have taken offense. Pride could have caused him to look down on Philip and say, "Get out of here." He could have said, "You know, I can figure out this, you know, figure this out all by myself." He could have said, "I don't need you to give me any explanation." He could have said, "You know, I already have been taught some truth, and I think I already know enough. Don't tell me anything because I think I already know." But he doesn't do it that way. He doesn't say, "Oh, you know how I was brought up?" No. He could have said, "Philip, I'm not going to make any changes." Oh. But he wasn't filled with pride. He had a humble heart. He humbly admitted that he needed some guidance in verse 31. How can I understand unless someone guides me? He admitted he didn't know about whom Isaiah was speaking. Who's the prophet talking about, the one I'm reading? And even though this man was not a Jew, this Ethiopian may, perhaps, was a proselyte, or he could have just been a God-fearing person to the Old Testament Jewish religion. Could have just developed a Jewish mindset. I don't know. But after inviting Philip to join him in the chariot, "Philip, could you give me some guidance and some explanation?" Philip, preaching from the text he was reading, the Ethiopian is convinced that God sent his son to provide salvation. And he makes his confession in verse 37, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Immediately, Philip commands the chariot to stand still. In verse 38, they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. So now what about us? When something we don't understand is explained, when we believe it, will we act on it? This man had a humble heart. And when those are in place, we see the last one, number four, he had a happy heart. I'm thinking, if I can make a guess, he was probably happy before he was baptized. He was happy to go to Jerusalem to worship. Happy to worship. I'm on my way to worship. Happy to be reading from Isaiah on the way home. I'm happy to meet Philip on the road home. He's probably thinking, oh, this is the best day of my life. But he's about to get happier. He was baptized. He's happy now that he has remission of sins. And his joy is now left to our imagination. In verse 39, when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. Eunuch, the Ethiopian, saw him no more. But he, the Ethiopian, went on his way rejoicing. In Psalm 32, verse 1 says, blessed or happy is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered or forgiven. So now what about us? What about us? Or what about me? The Ethiopian, honest heart, a hungry heart, a humble heart, and a happy heart, knowing that he did what the Word of God says. A happy heart. That's the invitation we extend always when we assemble together at the close of a lesson. We sing a song that I call it a song of encouragement. A song of exhortation. Remind us of our obligation to God to do his will. A song of invitation. Whosoever will, may come. If you're subject to that invitation, you want to imitate the Ethiopian's attitude and have this kind of heart when you want to be baptized for remission of sins, rise to walk in newness of life. If that's your desire, if that's your resolve, we can accomplish that this morning. Let's stand together. We're going to sing this song of invitation. Whosoever will may come. Just if that's you want to make this morning, just simply come while we're singing this song and let your request be known.